Husbands, verse 25. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the Word of God, the benefits of the Word of God and the promises that God's Word has for us. And it is our duty to appropriate by faith what the Bible declares to be ours. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about that. Last week we talked about the mirror of God's Word. The Bible says you behold your face as in a mirror. And the Word of God will reflect what we are like, as much as a mirror will reflect what we look like. The Word of God does not only just reflect the negatives in our lives, reflects the great things that God has done in and through us, and the things that He has initiated and continue to do. And as we appropriate the Scriptures, we see us being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to look at two particular aspects of the Word of God and their work in the life of the believer. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ died for the church. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse her. We are redeemed not to just be left redeemed. We are redeemed to be sanctified and cleansed. We don't just get saved. You don't just catch a fish just to catch a fish. When you catch a fish, you don't just catch the fish, you clean the fish. And the Bible says Christ gave his life for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. There are two things that Christ wants to do in our lives, having redeemed us from sin, from hell and destruction. Christ wants to sanctify us and he wants to cleanse us. Now, those two things may look all right, and they flow together, but they are not the same. Sanctification and cleansing are not the same, even though they relate to each other. For example, when something is sanctified, it is truly cleansed and pure. But something that is cleansed need not necessarily be sanctified. Are you all right? Does that make sense? When you're sanctified, you don't have to be cleansed. You are already cleansed. You are already pure. But when you're cleansed, you're not necessarily sanctified then. So cleansing is a part of sanctification, but not the whole. Hallelujah. But we see these two things, and then we see another thing. The agent for cleansing and the agent for sanctification, according to Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, is the Word of God. That he might sanctify us and cleanse us by the washing of water through and by His Word. The Word of God will help us to be cleansed and help us to be sanctified. The sanctification agent and the cleansing agent is the Word of God. It washes us and cleanses us and sanctifies us. Are you okay? And then Paul went further and says that he might present you and I to himself. And it appears that it's only those who are yielded to the cleansing and the sanctification that are qualified to be presented to Him. Does that make sense? Is that good English? If you study that in the Greek, it's exactly the same. That you are not presented to Him unless you go through the process of cleansing and sanctification. And then you are qualified, for want of a better word, to be presented to Him as His bride, because what He wants is a church that is without spot or wrinkle. A glorified church. And many of us think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, bless your darling heart. There's a cleansing and sanctification process, and the cleansing, sanctifying agent is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you all right? You're awake now a little bit? Amen. It says, hallelujah, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we must yield ourselves to the cleansing, sanctifying process that comes from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Minister said that in his church, there was a young lady that, his words were, she was not altogether there. And every time he gets up to speak the Word of God, she will scoot down in the aisle and sometimes under the chairs. And you just scoot down and sit in the front. But she comes to every service with her mom. And he said, that girl will sit there at every service. And as the process of time goes on, he said he began to see her change. Just by being in the presence of God, just by hearing the Word of God, she began to change. And it was amazing. He said, I never did anything with her because there was no personal connection. But the mother will bring the girl to church every time they met. And as she heard the Word of God being ministered, by and large, she began to change one step at a time. And when he said, at the time when he was telling the story, he said, that girl now grew up. Nobody ever thought she was going to amount to anything, but she married. And she married somebody quite well off. And then her husband passed away. So she was left with this. And everybody thought, now what's she going to do? She said, it's amazing the wisdom she had to be able to administer the things that God has given to her. But it began by the churches coming to church. To be sitting under the Word of God. To hear the Word of God ministered. And avail yourself to the Word of God. Because the Bible, according to the Bible, the Word of God is like the cleansing of pure water. Now you can wash your hands with water and that's fine. It will be clean. But if you just put your hands under the water and let the water run through, every particle of dirt in your hands in the process of time will be totally dislodged. You don't have to rub your hands. Even if your hands are dirty, you put your hands under a tap and just let the tap run. In the process of time, every particle of dirt in your hands will be dislodged. Gone. Now it'll be quicker if you rub it. But if you just allow the Word of God to wash over your soul and minister to you, it will cleanse you. Cleanses me. Hallelujah. Many people want instant change. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you have a microwave salvation. But sometimes it doesn't. People get saved and healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost all in one go. But many times, for the majority of us, it's a process. And we have to yield ourselves to the Word of God so that the Word of God can not only minister to us, but cleanses us and sanctifies us. Are you okay? Say amen. Now, we talk about fellowship. The Word of God is not just the only cleansing agent in the Bible. The Bible says as we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So you have two cleansing streams. The Word of God, the blood of God. The Word of Jesus Christ, the Scriptures, and the blood of Jesus. When Jesus was smitten on the cross, when the rock was smitten by Moses, water came out. But when the rock was smitten on the cross, it was not just water that came out. What came out? Water and blood. Hallelujah. That when Christ was smitten on the cross, two rivers came out. Water and blood. Be of sin, a double cure. Saved from wrath and... Does anybody know the song? Be of sin, the double cure. Saved from wrath and make me pure. You're older than me. Don't you know the hymn? Goodness gracious me. And I had to learn the hymn. It's an English hymn. It's not a Samoan hymn. Hallelujah. But there are two streams flowing. Samoan said, O mailene vai puna e onofo salanei. Ole puna ole ala na susu e Yesu. Hello? Now I have to, you want the interpretation of that? He says, come to the source of life. It's a water that Christ opened up. And it says, you can drink, you can bathe. Hallelujah. So you have these two cleansing agents that will help you and wash you and cleanse you and I that we may be presented to God. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Have a look at 1 John. 1 John. And chapter 5. And verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. The water and blood. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. Have a look at Exodus 30. Verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, that you shall put water in it, For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, that they shall wash with water lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet lest they die, and it shall be a statue forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generation. What has that got to do with what we're talking about? That is a physical picture of what the blood and the water does. They had the tabernacle. They had the brazen altar where they put the sacrifice on. The blood is spilled on the altar. Then the priest will offer the sacrifice and will walk into the tabernacle with the blood. But before he gets there, there's a laver of water. And he has to wash himself, not only apply the blood, but also wash himself before he goes in. And the Bible says they have to do that lest they die. You and I, when we come to the Lord, we come to the altar where Christ was sacrificed, where the blood is available to us. Then we come to the Word of God, where we are washed with the cleansing of the laver of the Word of God, lest we die. And constantly, we not only apply the blood to our lives, we have to apply the cleansing of the Word of God day by day into the things that we do. Why? Lest we die, come short of God's goodness. Are you all right? Said when they come, they have to wash. Wash their feet, wash their hands. Why do they wash their feet and their hands? It's how you walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in holiness, not in sin. We walk in sanctification. We walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. We wash our hands. Why? It's our attitude to service. He that had clean hands and a pure heart. Your hand and your heart are connected. They have to be washed. You can't wash your heart, but you can wash your hands. Hallelujah. The only way you can wash your heart is the application of the blood on that altar. But when you come to the laver, you have to wash your feet and your hands, your service to God, and the way you walk before men and before God. Let men see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you okay? But don't leave your Bible in the box. Leave your Bible in your heart. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Sanctification is a process that we go through. And according to the Bible, there are five agents that will help sanctify you. Are you okay? If you have a look at 2 Thessalonians, it's just before the fellow Timothy. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Right from the beginning, you were chosen by God for salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that initiates the sanctification process in your life. Now, what is sanctification? It's set apart for God's use. That's great. Anybody else? Holy. Very good. That's very good. All those questions, all those answers are correct. You're set apart. You're holy. Sanctification is, there's a lot of word that finish with that, sanctification. Rectification. What is rectify? To make right. Purification. What is purify? To make pure. What is sanctification? To make saintly. To make you more saintly. And the word is to make you holy. To set you apart. And right from the beginning, it's the Holy Spirit that initiated the sanctifying process. God knew from the beginning you're going to come to know Him. And you are chosen for salvation through sanctification of the Holy Ghost. Right from the start and belief in the truth. Hallelujah. God is first and last. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So the sanctification process began with God, the Holy Ghost, in your life. You may not know that, but that's the way it does happen. If God never moved, you will never get saved. A lot of people said, I found God. Well, God's not lost. We are lost. And unless God helps us find Him, you're totally gone. Are you okay? So right from the start, it's the Holy Spirit that initiates the sanctifying process. That's why we said before, you come to church, you're quite nicely, you're good, it's golden. As you hear the word of God, you get more and more terrible as you go along. I said, give me a break. I was all right before I came. Why? Because God is helping you and bringing you into a place of sanctification, not only cleansing, but making us holy. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and Wamanui. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We just talk about that. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. In sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctification of the Spirit. The initiating agent that will help initiate the sanctifying process of God in our lives is the Holy Ghost. Are you okay? Have a look at John chapter 17. Right next to Janice. John 17. And verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So, not only is the Holy Ghost one of the sanctifying, initiating agents that sanctifies us, the Word of God, as we shared before, sanctifies us. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Matthew 23. And verse 19. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? The altar that sanctifies the gift. Hallelujah. Which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? The altar, what you put on the altar of God is important. But more important than what you put on the altar of God is the altar. The altar sanctifies the gift. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Where do you present it? On an altar. Now, the altar obviously is very, very changed now in the New Testament. We don't build altars of stones. But there is still an altar. Why do we call, you know, this part, this place here, is not actually an altar. But when we sanctify it as an altar, where you separate yourself to God, we have a thing called an altar call. What is that? You come to the altar. So when Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He was talking about an altar, because that's where you present your body. And then he said, as a living sacrifice, holy. Now, how many know your body's not holy? It's not. It's marred. In fact, if your body or mine was presented in the Old Testament, it would have been rejected. But what makes us holy when we present our bodies on that altar? The altar sanctifies the gift. He says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Now, in the Old Testament, it would not have been accepted. Why? Because they need one without blemish or wrinkle. But when you come to the altar of God, hallelujah, in the New Testament, it's the grace of God is accepted. But the altar sanctifies the gift. Hallelujah. And I get Karina to sing that song, the Celine Dion song. What? How does it go? Because you love me. Now, if you sing that song and you come in here, the religious nuts, they'll say, what? Now, what makes the song holy? The altar. The altar sanctifies the gift. So not only is the Holy Ghost sanctifying us, initiating us, not only is the Word sanctifying us in a process of sanctification, the altar, every time you dedicate your life afresh to God, because you can't present your whole body, can you? You can only present it bit by bit, but it's alive. Now, because it's alive, it can hop off the altar. Because the altar is hot. Alright? You can then hop off. And it said, I presented that last week while you hop off. And then you come. And every time you come, you know, bit by bit, as you touch that altar, there's a sanctification process. Because the altar sanctifies the gift. And then you can say with Paul, well, it's an amazing thing that you present your body as a living. Now, every sacrifice in the Old Testament was dead. Sacrifice of the new is alive. Everything in the New Testament is alive. I wish we know that. Even the water. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. If I drink of the water I give to you, the water that I give to you will be in you a well that will spring up to everlasting life. So you got living water, you got living bread, you got living sacrifices, you got a living way. Everything is alive. Hallelujah. So you're sanctified by the Spirit, you're sanctified by the Word, and you're sanctified by the altar. And every time you dedicate your life at these altars, we declare them as altars. Any day of the week, you can. It's just a carpet. And a space in the church. But the moment you dedicate your life to the Lord, even a prison cell can become an altar. Are you okay? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read from verse 26. Make more sense. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? He says, don't count the blood whereby you were sanctified a common thing. Why? Because you're not only sanctified by the word, by the spirit, and by the altar, you're sanctified by the blood. Hallelujah. All these agents help bring us to a certain place of sanctification. A process in our lives where more and more we draw closer and closer to who He is and reflecting what He's like. Are you okay? We have one last scripture. It's not the end of the sermon, but the last scripture. Well, let me decorate that again. The last scripture regarding the agents that sanctifies us, all right? Acts 26. And verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You're sanctified by faith. Hallelujah. In the Lord. So you have these five agents. The Holy Spirit. What's the next one? The Word. The altar. The blood. And faith. All these agents are agents that help sanctify us. Everyone plays their part. But it is according to our faith. That's why how come he can go so far in God in such a short time? Because he's allowed God to do it in his life through his faith. All the other four agents are useless unless you allow them to work in your heart by faith. Salvation is useless unless it's appropriated by faith. The Bible says that to the Jews wanted a sign, the Greeks wanted wisdom, and the answer is both in the cross. But the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But to those that believe, it is the power of God to salvation. those who believe. God will not violate your will, and God will not violate the law of faith. The law of faith is, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Not according to your wealth or according to your knowledge, according to your faith. So it doesn't matter where you're from, what color you are, it's according to your faith. And when faith moves, it appropriates everything that the Spirit, the blood, the Word, the altar brings. But it's according to your faith. And the depth, the speed that the sanctification process happens is according to how you, with your individual faith, allow that process to happen. Are you okay? You're very quiet. You're allowed to say amen. We'll have the sponge after I preach. That's where my wife's gone. Get the sponge. Well, an ice cream jammed sponge. Are you okay? Some of you just woke up. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the sanctifying process is not just don't do this, don't do that. There's a negative and a positive side to the sanctification process. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not just don't get drunk. Don't drink this. It says be filled. This is just negative. If all we have is don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, then we fall far short of what the Bible says. It don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, verse 28. Let him who stole, steal no more. He says, if you used to steal, don't steal anymore. But if that's all you've got, well, I used to steal, I don't steal anymore. Well, bless your darling heart. What does he say? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has a need. You've got a negative side and a positive side of sanctification. Hallelujah. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's pretty good. But if that's all you... Hello? It says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. You don't just don't go to hell. You go to heaven. I mean, don't go to hell. Well, I'm not going to hell. So where are you going to stay? Well, I'm going to hell. Hello? Hallelujah. Are you all right? I like it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. That's a very familiar scripture. Talking about fathers and talking about discipline. It says, for they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Why does God chastise us? The end product, the product, is that we may be partakers of his holiness. Are you okay? Peter said, be holy as I am holy. He said, well, I can't be holy. I just live down the road. God is holy, but I'm not. Well, That's the process, sanctifying process will help you to be holy. Hello? Not only that you don't do this, but you're going to do things just like the mirror. You see the negative in the mirror, but you also see what God has done. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, you don't conform to the world, but you are transformed by the renewing of your minds. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, if you're not conformed to the world, what are you conformed to? Now, the Bible says, Romans 8, verse 29, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, those who are the called according to His purposes. That's in verse 28. So what's verse 29? Are you all right? For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. See, ultimately, the sanctifying agents will bring us closer and closer that we will reflect the image of His Son. What they say about the goldsmith, he will keep on heating the gold and scooping the dross until he sees his face in the gold. And as we grow in God, as we avail ourselves to what is there for the sanctification process in our lives, the Bible says we will by and by be conformed to the image of His Son. Are you all right? Not to the image of the pastor or the youth leader or some other hero that we worship sometimes, but to the image of His Son who is truly worthy to be worshipped. Hallelujah. That's what the Scriptures tell us to do. Now, if you ever look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we can go and have the sponge. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you know all things that pertain to you has already been given? They're not going to be given. They are already given. If you don't avail yourself to them, it's not my fault. And it's not God's fault, it's your fault. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says that God has, by His power, given to us all things. All things. Hallelujah. That provision is in His Word. The promises in the Word of God are for you and I, and they are yes and no, yes and amen, yes and yes, 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 yes. They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus by us. It's us that appropriate it. If you don't appropriate, they're still yes and amen in Christ. But if you don't appropriate it, it's still there, but it's not yours. And then it says, as you avail yourself to that by faith. The Bible says, you are going to be a partaker of the divine nature. You conform to the image of His Son. Not only escape the corruption in the world through lust, but become a divine, a partaker of the divine nature. But it has to do through us appropriating what God has provided. And we do that by faith. Hallelujah. And every time you hear the word of God, you need to find an altar and say, God, I'm here. I'm a candidate for that. Let the altar sanctify my dedication, because it's the blood on the altar that separates you from the world. The water of the laver that cleanses you day by day, lest you die. You're sanctified because the gift is sanctified by the altar, initiated by the Spirit through the Word of God. Hallelujah. By His blood and His Word, and appropriated by faith. You say this morning, Pastor, that's me. Well, you know what? Pastor said, Lord, that's me. Hallelujah. Why? The Bible says, he that does the cooking must first be a partaker of the cooking. All right? That's why the cook tastes the cooking first. All right? So don't cook and just give it to people. Taste it first yourself. If you don't like it, then the people won't like it. If you like it, then the people will like it. So most often, I just answer my own altar call. Like this morning. Hallelujah. I say, God, that's me. Help me. Give me strength to appropriate your promises. The power that gave me provision. Help me to appropriate your promises. That through them, I might be a partaker of the divine nature. Throwing away the lust of the world. And being a partaker conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If you want that, you can stand to your feet. Let's just pray this morning. Dedicate this church as an altar wherever you are. That the gift can be presented on the altar that sanctifies the gift. And allow the blood on that altar to touch your life and my life afresh. Allow the laver of the Word of God to wash us again. And bring us closer and closer to the image of the One who died for us, that He might cleanse us and sanctify us and present us to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. If you've never given your life to Christ, it's a great day to give your life to Jesus. If you know Jesus, it's a great day to rededicate our lives afresh. To Him who died and rose again for our justification. So let us pray. I'll pray. And you can help me. You can follow me in the prayer. And make it your prayer. Make it a personal prayer. A personal thing. A personal connection between you and God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I come afresh today. To know you afresh. To be touched afresh by your grace. To be touched afresh by your love. Thank you, Lord, you gave your life for me. That you might cleanse me. That you might sanctify me. That you might present me to yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I avail myself again to the promises of your word, knowing that as I live those promises, I become a partaker of your divine nature. I escape the corruption of the world and be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, let it be me. And let it be real in my life. I give it to you today. Dedicate it again to you. For your service. For your purpose. To your glory. Amen. Father, I pray right now that you will bless your people. That we will no longer live in condemnation and fear. Not just the negativity, Lord God, that we don't do, but that we will live according to your will, according to your promises, and become a partaker of your divine nature. Lord, bless your people today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you've never prayed that prayer before, this is the first time you did that. Can you lift your hand? Anybody? Hallelujah. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Amen. Well, let's have a cup of tea. If you're going to give the Lord a hand, give him a hand.